Before we get to the Word of God, I would like to bring a warm greetings and love from our congregation in Riga, and have a mandate from them to bring their greetings and prayer. We have been praying a lot, especially with this storm that has been passing through. Our church has been praying, and many had called and inquired if I've heard anything from our brothers and sisters in Cape Cod. And I said, "It seems to be all alive. Nobody had made a shortcut to heaven." But that's a graciousness of God that had needed us all together. Father, as we come to your word, there is a trembling experience inside of me. There is a deep reverence to your word. Your word is holy, a very holy. Lord, you have been dealing with my heart. You have been speaking to my heart. But in no way, Lord, I see myself being able to speak this word forth unless you give me strength to do so. Lord Jesus, I pray that once again, in your mercy and your grace, for the sake of your people, for the sake of your loved ones, you would give me grace. You would give me mercy in your anointing. Lord, to speak everything that you have placed in my heart. Use me just as a watchman for the hour is such to speak your word and let it become a living bread for every soul, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. As Eric mentioned this morning, I had a sleepless night, which is not necessarily a bad thing. When you compare it with being in the presence of God. And yesterday, as I have been walking around trying to do a shopping list that I have gotten from my wife, I realized that all of the time that I'm wandering in the mall, I'm not seeing anything. And that's not the day to shop. And usually, to be honest, I enjoy shopping, but not yesterday. I just couldn't get my mind together. I couldn't get myself together, and I found myself grieving and praying and walking and praying for the people around me, and I just realized that it's not a good day for shopping. So I text Eric. I said, I'm done. And we've shared the same experience that he had been having as well. There is something inside of me. It's like a warning of coming storm. There is a warning in me that the days ahead of us are going to be very, very difficult. The time ahead of us is going to be very dark. But at the same time, the Lord, dealing with my heart this night, as I have been praying and seeking Him, He had given me a word of encouragement for all of us. He's a gracious God. And if I would have to give a title to the message, I would simply put it in a way, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. Let's go to the scriptures and Open our Bibles in Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22, beginning with the verse 24. It's a rather lengthy place of scripture, text of the scripture, but I'll try to get fast through. Son of a man, give the people of Israel this message. In the day of my indignation, you will be like a polluted land, a land without rain. Your princesses plot conspiracies just as lions stalk their prey. They devour innocent people, seizing treasure and extorting wealth. They make many widows in the land. Verse 26. Your priests have violated my instruction and defiled my holy things. They make no distinction between what is holy and what is not. And just think of it. The whole legislation system in Israel had come to the place where they have no more understanding. They could not make a distinction anymore what is holy and what is not. The priests had come to the place where they don't even understand what's right or what's wrong. They don't understand what is holy and what is not. And they do not teach my people the difference between what is ceremonially clean and unclean. And if you look into the depth of the scripture, you will see that they are not teaching people what's right, what's wrong, not because they didn't want to, but simply because they did not know themselves. There was no more knowledge. Everything seems to be going in the wrong direction. They disregarded my Sabbath. They disregarded my Sabbath days so that I'm dishonored among them. I'm dishonored among them. Your leaders are like wolves who tear apart their victims. They actually destroy people's life for money. Does it sound familiar? And your prophets cover up for them by announcing false visions and making lying predictions. They say my message is from the sovereign Lord, when the Lord has not spoken a single word to them. Even the common people oppress the poor, rob the needy, and defy foreigners of justice. I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. And I searched for someone to stand in a gap in the wall so that I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I found none. I have looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I have searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so that I would not have to destroy the land. But I found none. Israel is going through a very, very dark time in the history. They're going through the time of deep moral crisis, an absolute moral decline and devastating degradation, the whole system, the whole nation is collapsing. This is one of the darkest times when Israel is just turning their back to God. They're totally going just against God. This is the period of time when the whole nation is itself, whether it's priest, the legislation system, crosses the invisible, but a very vivid line. Invisible, but a very vivid line, which has placed by the Lord himself at the Sinai. They knew it. They knew what the Lord commanded. They knew what it takes to live a righteous life. But they deliberately crossed the line. They deliberately crossed the line. And they provoked God's indignation on the whole nation. And I just wonder what it takes to provoke God to such an anger. How much time did they have? How long did they have to push God into the corner for God to speak such a harsh word? Understanding the mercies of God, understanding the forgiveness and compassion of God, understanding that God is most compassionate in his loving kindness. I just wonder how long did they had to despise the mercies of Christ? How long the nation had to put God into a closet? How long the whole nation had to become or live the lifestyle of God-hating nation for God, who is all-forgiving, full of loving kindness and mercies and compassion, to say such a harsh word toward them? Just recently, I had to make a trip to UK, in United Kingdom, and whether I haven't seen this before, was it there, and I haven't seen that before, but this time, all of a sudden, I was overwhelmed of the iniquities of the land. I have never seen a country or people, a nation that is so deliberately God-hating nation. I was walking through the streets of Brighton City, and I was amazed. I was totally devastated by what I have been seeing. I have been placed into the Sodom of Gomorrah itself. It was so painful. I couldn't do anything. I was walking on the streets and just weeping and asking the Lord for mercy. I could do is just, I found a nearby Starbucks and got there into the corner and I was just weeping and reading my Bible. I could not see. I had never seen anything like that when the nation deliberately does something to hate God. Nation deliberately chooses the way to hate God. the way that they walk, the way the mentality itself, the everything around them, everything speaks for them. They have chosen a deliberate way to walk against God. All of these ways, all of his things that he had previously spoken to them. And again, if you look at the UK in the beginning, it has been a God-fearing nation. Not anymore. It is a God-hating nation. And the same thing I see traveling to Holland, France, Germany, Europe, anywhere, anywhere. The world is rising with its God-hating passion to do something that would just deliberately do a harm to the mercies of God, to the Christ himself. Pain, darkness, and devastation of the soul, seeing such a nation, just couldn't let me go. The several days that I had spent there, it was the time of grieving, time of praying and seeking the Lord and asking God for his mercy. In the books of Judges, chapter 2, verse 11 to 15, the scripture says these Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of ancestors who had brought them out of the Egypt. They deliberately decided to do something that is not going to please God. They deliberately did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord had given them into the hands of their enemies. God had to do this for his righteousness' sake. God had to do that for his righteousness' sake. He had no choice. They didn't leave the choice for him. The era Israel is going through at that time when the laws of God that has been given to them at the Sinai are being rewritten. In order simply to please the ever-increasing lust of a human being. They have been changing the law to justify their desire for lust, to justify their sin, to do things that had been previously forbidden by God. But today they wanted to have something that would silence their consciousness and believe that this is legal. And this is what we're seeing happening today. God-fearing nation built once upon the word of God, built upon the laws of God that has been given to them at the mountain of Sinai, had to slide to such a degree, down to such a degree, that even priests, the law-giving order, the law-giving organ in the whole nation, had come to the place where they had no more distinction between what's evil and what's not evil, what's good. They had no more distinction between what is holy and what is not holy. And this is what we're seeing today happening all over the world. The laws are being changed. The new laws are being placed. In the United States, the Ten Commandments has been removed. God is being removed. In EU, God has no right to be mentioned in the Constitution. We're changing the laws rapidly, fast, without having to ask anybody for their opinion, just in order to justify the ever-growing lust of the nation for sin. And who knows what's going to be happening next? Who knows what is going to be, how far the future, how far the human desire for lust will push God, and how much longer God will be merciful to a nation. How much longer God would spare the nation from a righteous judgment, which is yet to come? He says, priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have exchanged. They changed their mind. And what was a sin is now called an ordinary thing. It should be like this. It should be to please the man. The man should never feel condemnation in their hearts. I will never forget that one of the preachers in the United States, wouldn't mention his name, when he was asked why he's not preaching against this sin and he's not rebuking his people, he said, "I have not been called to condemn, I have been called to encourage." And this is what is happening everywhere. The priests don't want to go against the stream anymore. The pastors, churches are going with the flow of a morality that is sweeping through the countries all over the world. United States is not an exception, or Europe is not an exception. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And how much longer God would keep from judging the nations? Romans 1:21 says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him. They knew God, but they would not worship him as God, or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. They began to think up of foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their mind became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools. And instead of worshiping in glorious, ever-living God, they worshipped idols made to look like mere people and birds, animals, and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. As the result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. 28. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolishness, thinking, and left them to do things they should never have been done. That should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, gossip. Isn't it a picture of a society that we see today? Verse 32, they knew God's justice requires that those who do things like they deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them as well. And this is a photograph, this is a picture of the world today. Today, more than ever before, we see the whole world is racing itself to hell. They are running to hell with everything that they have, with all of their mind. Even the people that are far from knowing Christ today, looking at the world today, and they make such a comment as the world has lost their mind. The world is insane. People that have nothing to do with the religiosity or the church acknowledge that the whole world, including its religious system, has lost the bearings. They're going the way that they shouldn't be going. Perhaps there is a line, an invisible line that has been placed by God himself, by which, crossing which, the person becomes blind and deaf to the mercies of Christ, to the graciousness of God, and to the voice of God and to his compassion, totally deaf and totally blind to hear what God is speaking. Even the storms that are coming, like this sandy storm, can we see the handwriting of God? Can we hear God speaking? Can we hear God speaking to the nation today? Or we are totally blind and we are totally focused on how to be self-defended, how to defend ourselves from the upcoming storm. Could we see, could we hear the cry of God's mercy, the cry of God's grace to come back to the simplicity of Christ and loving God once again? It is like a dawn that has been holding the pressure of the water for such a long time, when it begins to leak in several places and when it's not being dealt with, it comes to the point where it's just breakthrough. And what has been withheld for such a restraint for such a long time has no more restraint anymore. This is the same with the people. God has been holding this pressure of iniquity, the pressure of hate, the pressure of God hating spirits and desires and lust desires. And now it's the dam has broken through, and there is no limits to what the wicked heart of a man could come up with. When we look today, what is happening today? The abortions are being legalized, something that we had never dreamed what could come to pass. Same-sex marriages, something that is not even something new. It seems to be like everybody is happy with the arrangements. The definition of marriage has been changed. The definition of holiness has been changed. Homosexuality is not just being tolerated. I don't know about United States, speaking for the European Union. It's not just being tolerated, it's being promoted. It's being propaganded in schools, in universities, even in the children's gardens today. And this is happening today. Some of the European states today discuss that the elderly people is a drain to their social system, and they are a burden to the country that the country cannot carry. And they're recommending or talking about possibility of freeing what's so-called the social system of the burden. And this is happening today. If this is happening today, what are we facing tomorrow? Tomorrow, the government is going to say that the ill and sick people are the burden to the society. Let's get rid of them. What could get into the mind, our wicked mind, of a human person who is desiring for lust? This is happening today. Billy Graham once said that if God is not going to judge the earth today, he would have to make an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. And it is true in a way, because what we're seeing today is no better to what it was. It's not better than what it was. But at the same time, I said, isn't God judging the earth today? Isn't God judging the nations today? Are we not seeing the hand of judgment of God upon the nations today, upon the people today? Just seeing ever increasing suicidal rates all over the world. People that cannot cope with emptiness of their soul. What is happening to the heart of a woman that had committed an abortion, that cannot find rest? Isn't that the judgment that they had called upon themselves?